of the Living Geek.
How does my new headset sound?
Oh, a lot
really
better.
Good.
Yeah.
It's a wireless gaming headset. It's normally $160, but it was on sale on Amazon, $100 off.
Oh, good deal.
Boy. It's got fucking surround sound in the headset. It's hardcore.
Nifty.
Anyway, you're done with your pizza?
Yes, I am.
Okay, everyone's ready to go because it's already 9:18 and I want to go to bed.
Yeah, it's moving.
All right, cool.
Damn kids.
Sorry for taking so long to get this recorded. Brian was in Baltimore, and Andy was busy on Friday, so we weren't able to record until today, which is Saturday. I'll be editing it tomorrow, which is Sunday.
I was in Baltimore yesterday, too. So.
Oh, you were? Oh. For some reason, I thought it was... Wait, I'm doing bad math in my head. It doesn't matter. Anyway, we're late, and by now, I'm sure you've seen the episode, so you don't need us to talk about... Hey, this is exactly what happened and in the order it happened. So we'll hit the highlights for the most part. That sounds good? All right, cool. The main highlight in this first part, because also this was 3 hours. It was 2 hours of the episode, which was really good. A good, very good, strong 2 hours. And then our reunion, and I actually watched the whole reunion. I really wanted to see whatchamacallit, Ponderosa. But I also really wanted to play Overwatch because it's the Christmas thing, and I want skins and stuff. So sacrifices were made.
Yeah, this is actually Ponderosa I would have liked to watch with Jay. But I mean, once it's over, do you really even like? I mean, I kind of care, but it doesn't interest me half as much now that I know who won.
Yeah, that's part of it. Like the main thing I wanted was to see what he told Taylor, like to see if he told them. To see if he told Taylor, like, hey, no, Adam's actually pretty cool. You know, that sort of thing. I'm curious how that played out. Because remember, Taylor and Michelle didn't seem to like him. But in the end, they voted for him.
Yeah. Yeah, and the one I would have wanted to watch was David. And we'll get to this later. But to figure out why Chris thought that Adam was the one who orchestrated the whole Ken turning on. Like, Chris advocated so hard saying, Adam, you did a great job convincing Ken to turn on his closest ally. And it's like, wait, what? Where did that come from? And I'm wondering if David thought that's what happened and that's what he said, because I have no idea where Chris got that from.
Yeah.
But yeah, that would be one I would be interested in watching. Would be David's to see how that worked out right before.
Yeah. No, I agree with you.
I still don't care.
There are some good ones. If nothing else, you should watch that one with Will so you can see their practical joke on him. That was excellent stuff.
All right, I'll come back and get that one.
Yeah, that's worth doing. So this episode, though, the first part of it in which it's Jay that gets voted out. He gets voted out because he has the overconfidence of believing that he has a hidden immunity idol.
Which... I really appreciate David even more for doing that, because normally you make it and you like wear it around your neck and hope for like that Hail Mary. I like much more that he left it out there to be found.
Yeah, well, because as he was putting it together, I was just like, oh, come on, no one's going to believe that. Everyone's seen 3-4 immunity idols by now. They know what they look like. It doesn't matter. They're not going to fall for it. But then to hide it so that somebody else would find it, that was genius. Because
and to hide it in something that looked like, especially because Jay knew that they were painting the things that it was on. Yeah. That was another little bit of smarts.
Yeah, that was really great. And we finally get to see what the legacy was, and go figure. Yeah, it's just free immunity. Although I liked the twist of it being you didn't have to tell anyone or anything. You showed it and you got it. Especially considering Jay so cockily plays his fake idol and then Ken plays his real one.
Yeah. And I mean, Jay's fake idol led to some of the best quotes of, I mean, even I know this was a 3 hour episode, but the best stuff happened in the beginning with Jay. Like, what do you say? I have a train of losers following me back into camp. How stupid are they? When he plays it, you guys can chase me, but you got to be quicker than that. I'm like, oh, yeah. God.
Or then when he realized it was fake, he's like, oh, God, I hate you guys. I hate you, but I love you. That was that's one characteristic of this season that I really enjoyed, is that everyone seems to, and they mentioned this in the whatchamacallit at the end, the reunion show. Yeah, they mentioned, it's like, look, we all know now. We're not taking it personal. That was a really nice touch, because even
except for Chris.
Eh, he seemed to have gotten over it too by now. I mean, in the moment, the heat of the moment, that thing happens. I'm trying to figure out who. So yeah, everyone voted for Jay. Oh boy, even his boy Adam, yeah, who told him, "Hey, we're brothers. I'm not going to vote against you." He voted against him.
You kind of see that coming, though, right? I mean,
yeah. Well, and clearly, Jay didn't hold it against him. So it was okay in the end. The next one was a split vote when they voted out Brett. Let me get back.
What
to
I
the
did
notes.
Like about this tribal was when Ken plays the legacy advantage, and Jessica's on the jury and is like freaking losing it, because if she had lasted like two more days, she would have been in the final. Was that final five? Final four?
Yeah.
Like oh god.
Only poor girl. It didn't matter though, because. For Ken, it didn't matter because only one person voted for him.
Yeah, Ken had no need of it at all. But, I mean, yeah. He didn't need it, but, I mean, what are you going to give it to somebody?
Well, he didn't know he didn't need it. So, it's one of those things where it was a whole lot of buildup for something that, in the end, didn't really matter a whole lot. But it was still, it was cool. I'm not going to say, like, oh, this is a dumb gimmick, never do it again.
Well, and they got to try it, too, right? I mean, because like we were saying all season, there's the thing like, you know, you have an immunity and you get voted out with it and you forget it or you don't pass it on, like all that kind of stuff that we had, especially when Neil left with his, which kind of screwed over Audrey a little bit. And you don't want that kind of thing to happen. And then the asshole who took his home as a trophy.
Oh, yeah, I don't remember, but it was...
Fake being sick, I don't remember his name. I mean, you don't want that stuff to happen. So you try this legacy advantage thing, and if the whole handing it off kind of works-ish a little bit, then maybe this is what you do with immunities from here on out. I don't know.
But what do you mean all that build-up? There wasn't any fucking build-up. They mentioned it like twice the entire season.
All that drama of it being the start of the season and all that kind of stuff, and ooh, is it going to work, and then it just fizzled out and didn't really matter.
It didn't play for anyone.
Yeah, all right.
The like all season long, there's this thing. It's kind of lurking around. It could be something cool.
It was very anticlimactic, is the point I'm trying to make. But it's fine. Yeah, it was a cool idea. I enjoyed it. And the thing worth mentioning as well is the combo immunity and reward challenge here is that Jay finally uses the steal a reward so that he could eat a steak too. But what was pretty great was he realized he was pretty much gone. And so he's like, look, I'm just going to get this steak so that I have something in me when I get voted out. Yeah.
No, it was good. And it made me like Jay too, because David won and he stole it from David, but was like, I don't, you know. He's probably going to take David along anyway, but he's like, you know, David, you should come because you won.
Yeah, that was the exact right play for it. It was, I'm going to take this, but David, you won fair and square, so you're going to go. And then the person who gave me this thing is Adam, so I'm going to take him with me too. And that there was no drama.
Come on, friend of me.
Yeah, there was no drama, no muss, no fuss. It was a good turn around. But yeah. So when the voting was happening, I'm trying to remember, was this where... Hannah was trying to convince folks to vote for Jay.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it must have been because he wasn't there after that.
No, because I remember. So, okay, I watched this just a little bit ago, but it's already kind of blurred together. But there was a point where Hannah was making a hard sell to get her target voted out instead of.
That was the next one. Of Brett instead of David. Yeah.
Okay.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so this one she was going along with everyone else. She was basically going whichever way the wind blew, which was fine, and then putting her thumb on the scale when it would matter, as she did
a couple of times. That's been her game a lot of
it. Which didn't work out so well for her in the end, but it got her where she needed to be. And, you know, sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. She has, if you remember... Cook Islands, she has Becky syndrome, where she's making a whole bunch of moves behind the scenes, and because she's so low, everyone was putting all of those moves on Yule and Ozzy, and so by the time it came down to Final Tribal Council, it was Yule, it was Ozzy, and then everyone was just like, oh, and you're here too? Even though she totally deserved to be there. That's the funniest thing. She totally worked her way in. Hannah, same thing here. Totally works her way in, does a whole lot of stuff, but it's very subtle. It's a very good manipulative game, and none of it mattered because people only saw Adam and Ken. Good God, I couldn't think of his name.
Well, I mean, I guess in the end, they didn't even see Ken either.
Yeah, yeah. Well, they saw him enough to be like, oh, you sucked. But Ken, you know who Ken reminded me of? Ken reminded me of a non-crazy coach. Like, Ken wanted to do the same thing where the best, most trustworthy people go to the end, and he just wasn't insane or didn't think he was the second coming or anything.
Yeah. And they actually won point challenges.
I don't follow your logic there, but okay.
Just the whole honorable people make it to the end, except he couldn't swing it all the way.
Yeah. Well, because he made a good move. How do I put it? He made a good move getting David voted out. It was a good, smart move that more people respected him for than didn't respect him for, as Will said. I'm trying to remember.
Obviously, it wasn't good enough.
Right. That's the thing. I think that's probably because Adam just played such a really good game. And then.
That's nothing to do with 21. Anyway, keep going.
No. And then to seal the deal, he talked about his mom. But anyway, we'll go with the straight ahead. Let's see. So the second immunity challenge, it was a balancing beam or puzzle. It really frustrated me because the word puzzle they had to solve was not a participation trophy. And it's like, fuck you, dude.
And we at this point, we are so past the whole millennial Gen X thing that started the season. Like, that's so far in the rearview mirror of the season. It's like, what is this even doing here?
Yeah. And it's like, okay, we've all of us kind of come to the conclusion that the point of this season was to get more millennial viewership. And then you're going to put that at the very end, just like, not a participation trophy. It's like, oh, fuck you, dude. I don't know. That's just, that seems like a sob.
I had the same reaction. It was just really out of place and in poor taste there.
Yeah. Like, it should have.
I was like, I don't give a fuck because I agree participation trophies are total bullshit.
But I mean,
whatever.
I mean, the whole conceit of millennial Gen X thing, like, it hasn't mattered for like a month and a half.
Yeah. It was gone as soon as I didn't even
piece that together that's what that was referring to. So.
Yeah. Exactly. That's how much it wasn't relevant.
Yeah. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Ken won, and that's all that really matters. Adam got really close as well. This was the one that I was talking about where it was Hannah making a good, hard, heavy push to get to get Brett voted out.
Right.
Yeah, for good reasons. I don't know. Like, I think Adam would have won anyway, even against Brett, but he might have gotten a couple of votes.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of see what they're saying, that Brett had a lot of friends and Brett was an overall pretty good guy. But I mean, if I'm Hannah, I take Brett over Adam. That's for damn sure.
Yeah,
I take Brett over David.
That you're missing the point that Brett had nothing to do with why she wanted Brett out. She wanted Brett out because of Ken.
Yeah,
she wanted Ken on her side, and Ken wouldn't have been on her side if she voted for David.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is she could have thought more outside the box and tried to get something going against Adam. Because it's easy to say now, but like in the moment too, you're right. She does need to keep Ken around, and keeping Ken around definitely means keeping David around. But that means, she needs Brett too. needs Brett to be her competitor.
And the important thing you have to keep in mind is that Adam showed her that he had a hidden immunity idol again.
Yeah.
He found yet another one.
Yeah.
Which actually, honestly, when he went out there into the woods, out into the jungle to look for it, I was like, bullshit, dude, there isn't another one. Calm down. Slow your roll. I was very firmly in David's camp with that. And so I was like, it doesn't matter. And then sure enough, there was one. And so that's the thing. It's like, what could she have gotten? What could she have gotten going with Adam? She couldn't convince him that, oh, enough people are going to vote for David that you need to get out Brett. You need to play your idol for Brett and then have everyone vote against him. It wouldn't have worked.
Yeah. No, I mean, what you would need to do is just let Adam think the plan was Brett the whole time and, you know, just make them all think it was Brett and then Adam sits pretty with his idol and doesn't bother playing it.
Yeah, he would.
I mean,
that was the last night that you could play it, so he would definitely have played it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so it's like, it's one of those things.
That's true,
yeah. And so her best bet, because you remember, Adam was like, all right, we're getting David out. Everyone's going to get David out. And then Hannah was like, okay, she realized if I let David get out, then I'm the person who just gets dragged along to the end. I don't want to be dragged along to the end. So she advocates to get out David. I'm sorry. She advocates to get out Brett. He's gone. And now that's her move. Except that was Chris. He let David take care of, no. Oof. I'm getting all my people mixed up.
He let Adam take credit for David.
He let Adam take credit for David, which was the next night. So none
I don't think anybody in hindsight really cared about this move that much.
No.
Hannah much credit for anything.
That's the thing, though. I mean, at least it's a feather in
her cap. Yeah, they did. Adam sure as hell cared about it. That was the only fucking thing he brought up at Tribal. The final Tribal.
Yeah. But that's what's so wonderful about Adam's game, was he realized, wait a minute, this woman has severe anxiety, so if I just knock her off balance on the very first thing and keep hammering home, she's going to break down. And she totally did.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, she went to pieces.
What the fuck were you watching? No, she didn't.
No, she went to pieces. You watch her in that final Tribal Council. No. I will stand tall and die on this hill. You watch that final Tribal Council, and you can tell she had a plan she wanted to do. She wanted to say, look, I made moves. I did this. You're all there because of us and blah blah blah, but it ended up she was on the defensive the entire time, saying no, and then he would just throw her under the bus repeatedly and back that bus up and hit her a second time. He threw her to hell, and it knocked her off her game.
I don't know what the fuck Tribal Council you were watching.
No, watch it again.
Every time he brought that up, she immediately stopped him and said, no, fuck you, you're wrong.
No,
she didn't fucking ever have any point where she was freaking out or like ruined her fucking ideas or anything.
No, she.
I don't know what the hell you were watching.
You can weigh in on this. We're all of us here on Twitter, but you watch it again and you'll see she had a panicked reaction to those. She was not able.
I think you're both right. The thing is, Adam came off as calm and collected, and Hannah, just because of who she is, didn't come off it. I mean, she came off as looking reactionary, and she, like, Brian, you're right. The words she said, she stood up for herself and she would call out his shit. But just her natural demeanor is much more nervous and frenetic, and it didn't come off as collected as Adam was. Cool, calm, and collective.
Yeah. Oh, that's
because she had to keep interrupting him to make her point.
Yeah, and because of who she is, you know.
Yeah.
It's just how she comes off.
Like, so, yeah. She didn't get to play the game that she wanted to play. That's all I'm saying. She wanted to be cooler and calmer, and he was ruffling her feathers, which is a good play to make. But, well, that's still a little bit ahead of us. We still have to talk about David getting voted out. I don't know. Is there really much to say about it other than he lost, and Adam knew what he wanted to do?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Hannah, again. Again, in that one, Hannah. Well, this is the next one here with David.
Oh, we're going to move on, David.
Yeah, because there wasn't.
We're
going
to talk about the springy maze bowl thing.
Yeah, I really liked that challenge, because as they were doing it, I was like, you know what? I think you should just get it to like 8 or 9 and then just sit. Like, I don't think it matters, because people are going to keep putting things on there and knock it off.
No, that's I hated this challenge because the wind won.
Yeah.
When it came down to the showdown, I like that Ken just went up hard first and just stayed one ahead of Hannah the whole time. And all you have to do, I mean, you can go as slow as she's going and steady as she's going. You just had to get that one ahead.
Yeah.
No, the showdown was great. But before that, the wind, I don't even remember who was up to 12, and they're going for the last one, and the fucking wind knocked it down.
Yeah, but at the same time, if they had been a little bit more careful, like a strong, tall stack would stand. The problem is, like, if you look at Hannah's, hers was not tall. Or, I'm sorry, it was not strong. It was very off balance. And so, of course, it fell a couple times.
Hers was way the hell off balance, and it didn't fall.
No, hers fell.
That's exactly my point.
Hers fell. It didn't. It fell a couple times.
No. Not when it was super way off balance. That was when the challenge ended.
Eh. In that case, maybe she the structure, I don't know, diverted the wind or whatever. It didn't matter. The wind was the interesting thing. Like, I like that aspect of it because it kept everyone in the match.
No, that's bullshit. Because the wind, the gusts are not going to be. They were several feet apart between them, so the gust could completely fuck someone over and just not bother another person at all.
No, not unless
it's 100% luck.
Unless it's blowing directly at. Like, if they're all in a line, not unless it's blowing directly parallel to that line, is it going to matter?
Exactly.
And even then, it's like, no, because if it's blowing parallel, I'm sorry, God damn it, that really throws me off. If it's blowing perpendicular to their backs or to their fronts, then everyone's getting hit by it equally.
It's disappointing when the elements decide the outcome of the challenge, but at the same time, that's part of, at a certain point, it's just fate, and you just, sorry, sucks for you, Adam. Like, you had eight, and you waited it out, and then the wind got you.
Yeah. Also, I feel like if it's structurally sound, it's going to withstand a gust of wind, especially because all of them are getting, they are getting all hit by the same amount of wind.
No, you don't know that. If they were all in the same exact spot, then you could say they're all getting hit by the same amount of wind. The wind is going to vary, a gust of wind isn't exactly the same strength within a fucking 20-foot thing.
And where they were standing. Either way, it doesn't matter because there's nothing in the rules for this challenge about the wind, apparently.
Yeah.
So if your shit gets knocked over by the wind, it doesn't matter how well you built it or didn't build it, because
that's what I mean. That's why it's fucking stupid. The result came down to the wind. It had nothing to do with the fucking.
And that happens,
people.
But I mean, I'm just as fine with that happening as when people draw rocks. Like, that's just, it comes down to chance. And when they shuffle,
when they draw rocks, they have a chance to fix that before that happens. Or, if they can't,
when they redistribute tribes before the merge, like, that shit, what color thing you pull out is just entirely up to luck. I mean, there's a lot of luck in this game, and sometimes it's easier to see because it's boiled down in one challenge and the wind, and sometimes it's just part of the show, so you don't analyze it as critically as being just, well, that sheer luck, and I don't like that. I mean, it does come down to the wind, but it's just fucking bad luck.
Yeah,
exactly. I don't like that it came that the fucking final tribal. But then
you don't like this show. There's so much luck in this show.
I don't care. The final goddamn immunity challenge should not come down to luck.
It didn't though. Like,
yes, it did.
Like, if they had built their tower. Okay, well, also Adam had
bullshit.
Eight. No, Adam.
That is absolutely goddamn wrong. Well, I don't remember who the fuck it was.
How many did Adam have?
And they were going for that 13th one, and it was perfectly fucking straight when that thing fell over.
That was Ken.
Bullshit. Okay.
That was Ken. And he won anyway.
Yeah, and he won anyhow.
He won anyway. But
he won in a penalty shootout. Yeah, 5 minutes.
He handed the big one.
5 minute overtime and then a penalty shot shootout. That's how they would have decided it. Just like the NHL.
Uh-huh.
Get it?
Let's move on. We've been on the stupid. Yeah. I'm sorry I brought us back to this challenge.
That's right. How dare you? Anyway, so Ken wins. He and Hannah were actually going at it, and I enjoyed that. That was good.
Oh, yeah.
Oh. Boo.
That's what Hannah wanted.
Eh. Hey.
That's what the fans wanted.
I mean, you saw Ken. Wouldn't you want it? Whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
One of my favorite scenes of the episode comes up later. It seems like Ken is always like talking strategy over the cutting board. And sometimes he's just cutting up coconuts, but this time he's cutting up like some fucking exotic manta ray.
Yeah. Well, they got to eat.
No, but it's a great scene because it's a crazy thing that you're probably only ever going to see when somebody is living off the land in Fiji. But it's also great because it's him cutting up the manta ray, talking to David about trust.
Yeah.
When as 10 minutes later,
he's stabbing him in the gut. Yeah. Oh,
That's what makes that scene good. It's that cutting up the ray while he's cutting up his trust.
Yeah. But David seemed to be okay with it. So, in the end, he liked it. I do kind of wish, on the one hand, I kind of wish he had gone down and let him do the fire thing. Seeing as how that's his whole thing of like trust and the best of the best and all that kind of stuff. And so it would have been kind of nice to see him actually go through it at the end, but I get it. Like, I understand. If you're in that position, you're like, you know what, I can't beat David, I'll just vote him out and I can still make a good case for myself.
And at this point, he can make the best case, right? Because he can say, I brought my ally as far as I possibly could, and I looked at the game, and I had to choose between what I'm playing for and my ally.
Yeah, like he said...
You know, my ally can beat me. My closest ally is my daughter.
Yeah. So. I was about to say, like he said...
I don't like that.
But I mean, that argument, nobody on the jury will begrudge him making that argument.
They would, though. Ask Jessica. But the point is, no, that's a terrible argument, because the whole point of, look, I've been, you know, playing honestly this whole time. The one time it actually mattered, he didn't do it. So therefore, the whole game didn't fucking matter.
No, see, and I disagree. And this is where I think Ken screwed up the most, is he didn't take credit for what he was. Right. I mean, it's one thing to be said to be the pocket vote, but at the same time, he was, for a huge portion of this season, David's equal partner in their alliance. Like, he is the one who brought in Jessica more than David. I mean, David played the idol, so Jessica gave him so much credit. But if you remember that moment, that was Ken talking to her and her saying, what am I supposed to do? Just trust you? And he says, yes. Like, yes, period. And Ken is very much one who brings her to the fold. And he never vocally takes credit for having been such a part of the game that everybody gives credit to David for.
But that what you just mentioned was really the only thing he ever did. He really didn't do anything.
No, he was doing a lot of...
No, he wasn't. He absolutely was riding coattails.
He was doing stuff around camp. Early on, he made some moves But early on, he made moves when he needed to stay alive. He played a social game where he made friends with people and relied on them to vote for him. He was playing... How do I put it? So there's a political game, which is the actual voting, and then there's a social game, which is the final voting. And so he was trying to... God, now I'm having trouble coming up with words. He was playing the social game to the expense of the political game, hoping that that would translate to better results. And, I mean, you're right. It didn't. He lost. Well, he got second place. Whatever. That's a good ending. That's $100,000. That's not bad. But yeah, so I don't know. In the end, it works.
Yeah.
Okay.
I know what you're saying. Like, I mean, he was a good foil. Like, David did a lot of the politicking and strategizing and building things. And David and Ken was the one who held things together. Like, if we mentioned this over and over this season, Ken was the guy who would walk up to you and say, so how you doing? How you feeling? How are things? And make sure that you were okay. And make sure that you weren't going paranoid and crazy. And he let David do the strategy, and he kept everyone together. He's the one who herded the cats. And David told the cats where to go. And that's just as valuable. But it's not as valuable to these players. If you think about Will, Jay, Taylor, they don't care about... I mean, so much of that old alliance doesn't care about how you feel. They only care about the strategy behind the game. Like, Will, in his part of the final tribal, clearly does not value loyalty for shit. He doesn't value Ken at all. He thinks Ken is complete crap. But a lot of Ken's game is valuable in so many other seasons, and I think it's just a result of who was on that jury and the skew that they had as an alliance.
Yeah. Oh, shit. What's the phrase? Don't play the game, play the player? No.
Yeah, play the people.
Play the people. That's essentially what it is.
The other way around.
Don't
play the player, play the game, but that's okay.
Well, in this one,
whatever.
Either way, in this one.
No.
For Survivor, it switched.
Play the opponent. Play the man, not the... I don't know. There's a sports thing. Basically, it's know who your opponent is and realize that they have a game that they want to play and don't let them play it. And that's what you need to do here, is you need to play to the jury. Like that's Russell's problem. Russell's problem is he plays the game so hard that it screws and alienates the jury. And so they are saying, Adam in this case, he was like, all right, I'm going to play the jury. And he did. He played them very well.
Yeah. Yeah, man, if Russell had a Ken in his pocket, he'd been gold. But Ken would never hang with that guy.
Oh, yeah, no. He would hate him. Yeah. All right, well, so that sets up a final tribal council with Hannah, Ken, and Adam, which we've gone into. You know what? How about we cover it this way? We just go how it worked out for each person, right? We talk about that's a nice orderly structural way of talking about it. So we'll start with Hannah then. We kind of talked about her. The jury's impression of her seemed to be, you didn't do anything, but that's because they couldn't see what she did.
See, again, where are you coming up with this shit? None of them ever said anything like they thought Hannah didn't do anything. They thought Ken didn't do anything, because he didn't.
No, they kept asking, what, like...
What fucking tribal were you watching? I'm serious.
I think they saw them both as goats. I think they saw Ken as David's pocket vote, and they saw Hannah as Adam's pocket vote. Or no, they saw Hannah more as... Her criticism was that she was a flip-flopper. She never chose a side. I mean, that's the thing. For so much of the talk of Ken and his loyalty being undervalued, at the same time, Hannah's lack of loyalty and desire to want to be in the right position at every tribal is what screwed her. Like, she was the wild card that nobody ever trusted, so they didn't think she was playing a game. They thought she was just flipping around to whatever, you know, whatever the wind blew. They didn't see the strategy in behind how she wanted to move.
Yeah, she had to convince everyone that her moves weren't just random things. They were her actually making moves. That's what I mean by them saying, like, what were you doing?
I mean, you know, it's a fine line, right? Because like, a couple of people called her a flip-flopper, and it's a fine line between...
No, they didn't. No, nobody called her that. Ken called her that, and he didn't count.
No, Adam called her that. But then
Adam called her that.
Oh, I didn't realize Ken had done it, too. Anyway, the jury consensus was that she didn't... Like clearly, because no one voted for her anyway. But that's the thing. It's like she had to sell herself to them and convince them that those were moves that she was doing. They didn't buy it.
She also, in terms of what the jury votes for, she was never a competitor in the challenge. I mean, she was a competitor in the challenges, but she never took her seriously for the challenges. I can't imagine having been a super, super duper helpful around camp. Like all of the other little intangibles that kind of get you maybe one or two votes. Like if somebody's like, I'm a competitor and I'm going to vote for, you know, the outplay and the outwit, outplay, outlast. I'm going to vote, you know, I'm going to give it to Joe because Joe plays hard. That kind of thing. Like maybe you can get a vote that way somehow, but Hannah gets none of that. None of that stuff goes her way. And Joe? I don't think she, no, Joe, like last season. No. What's his name? Joe Anglim.
Oh, okay.
Like just somebody who's fantastic in challenges. And in this season, it didn't happen for Ken, but you could see somebody saying, you know, Ken, we won four immunities. You know, you had the competitiveness to go out there and fight for it when it mattered most.
Yeah.
You could say that and maybe give a vote to Ken, but none of that shit's ever going to break Hannah's way.
And remember also when she had to explain what trust clusters were a second time. Like that's the thing. She's like, that's the essence of the trust cluster. You go with this person, you go with that person. People just weren't convinced that she was actually playing a game.
Well, and it makes me curious too. Like that's something that mattered and was relevant when we watched it, but that was what, over a month ago now for us. So, I mean, I know that they're in it and it happens all within 39 days for them. But at this point, are they going, that's wonderful, but you did that, what, before the merge?
Yeah.
Is this relevant now? Do we care about this? Like, are you calling back something 2 weeks ago? Because nobody here on the jury gives a shit. We weren't, you know, we made it past the whole trust cluster phase.
Yeah.
What have you done for me lately?
Exactly. All right, well then, let's move on to Ken, since we spent a lot of time talking about Hannah. Ken, yeah, it basically boiled down to, okay, yeah, you're trustworthy and honest and all that kind of stuff, but what did you actually do? Like, how did you play the game?
Yeah, and I think he didn't play up how hard it is to play that honest game and make it. Like... It's so hard to play the way that he played and make it all the way to where he did. And that deserves a vote at the very least. And I know Brian is going to bring up, and I'm going to agree with him, why he didn't get any votes.
Right.
But I feel like
agree on that.
Yeah. Ken deserves credit for playing this game the hard way and making it work.
Yeah.
But he didn't bring that up. He just said, I'm loyal. Not, that was really fucking hard, guys. Come the fuck on.
Yeah. Okay, is there anything else we want to talk about with Ken in terms of his final thing? Because, yeah, I don't know. He had sort of just a basic thing. You know, he was talking about his daughter and all that, and it's whatever. I feel like he could have made a good case for it. Look, I won four individual immunities. It's outwit, outplay, outcast. That's us.
Outlast.
He knows how a C kind of looks like an L, too. Anyway, he could definitely have made the case just, yeah, capital L and a C. He could definitely have hammered home the point of I outplayed and I outlasted.
Yeah.
He did not win.
I am here, and I did it the hard way.
That's not really winning, though.
No, I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, one way or another. But I mean, either way, I think you're right. Ken went for the sob story. Ken was trying to bring up his daughter to curry favor, and then Adam drops his mom. And it's like, well, there goes your whole final try.
He brought a knife to a cancer fight. He
should be talking more about his game and a little bit less about his daughter.
Yeah, I don't know. Wasn't too terribly impressed with Ken's final tribal council. I feel like he could have made a better case for himself, but he didn't. And then that leaves Adam, and yeah, we're all in agreement here. Like, okay, I think he would have won anyhow. How many people were on the final jury? Seven?
Ten.
Ten?
Ten.
Yeah. I feel like he probably would have won. He would have gotten seven votes, and then Ken got two, and Hannah would maybe have gotten one. So I think he would have
7-2-1, 6-3-1, something like that.
Yeah, something along those lines, or even 5-3-2 or something. But he would have won anyhow, but playing his mom's cancer card, and I feel kind of bad because I don't think he was like, all right, I'm going to just manipulate everyone here. I think he really was like, look, it's been a month and this is really weighing on my mind. And I think he broke right then and there, and it was opportunity. It was a good opportunity. I don't know how opportunistic it was, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
But it's definitely why.
I mean, I was going to say, when Jay was, I don't think it was opportunistic at all. I mean, when Jay was up there and they had their little moment, he just said, Jay, you know why.
Yeah. And he's like, you don't have to talk about it right now. And he didn't.
Yeah.
It was the next person.
He deferred. It was Zeke. Zeke said, what is your reason for playing?
Right.
And Adam went.
It was David.
No, it was totally Zeke. I know it was Zeke.
No, actually, I think Brian's right here. It was David because it was the last. It was the
Brian's right.
It was the last one.
It was the last one. That was David. Zeke's was. I don't remember. I honestly don't remember much because I just remember his shirt.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't know if you ever watched Bobby's World, but it reminded me of something Uncle Ted would wear. Yeah. And so yeah, I mean that's the thing is Adam at first resists bringing up his mom, and then he brings it up. And everyone goes gobbledygook for him, and he wins $1 million. As I said, I don't think he won $1 million on the strength of his mom's cancer. That would be very, very crass. I think he would have won it. Okay. If he hadn't mentioned it at all, or if, let's say he did the Jay thing, you know what I mean? And Jay says, you don't have to talk about it, and he doesn't talk about it. And then he doesn't say anything when David does. How do you think this thing breaks? Do you think Ken wins? Do you think Hannah wins?
No, I think Hannah was going to win.
You think Hannah was going to win?
I don't know what fucking five. Fucking listen, shut up. I don't know what fucking final tribal council you guys are watching. But Hannah was doing fucking fantastic with the question she was asking her. And she made, like, when I was watching, I was like, fuck, I'm going to vote for her right now.
Mm-mm.
But. And Ken was just like, I'm honest. And then Adam's fucking answers were like, crybaby. Like, she didn't do what I told her to. She's a jerk, guys. Don't vote for her.
No, that
I think Hannah was absolutely going to win. And I want to point out, I don't think it's Adam's fault, because David asked him to explain what.
Right.
Yeah, no.
But I'm absolutely certain that's why he won and why he got all of the votes.
I want to give Adam credit for not bringing it up as a ploy to get votes. He didn't bring it up until it was directly asked of him, and I can understand him not being able to hold it back when it's directly asked of him. I don't blame him for that.
I appreciate that.
He went 39 days and 23 hours without talking about it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, that's a made up number, but you get my point.
I did agree. Like I think it's crappy because these are three bad final tribals. And Adam's constant refrain, I think Brian is right. He kept saying, you know, like, oh, my ally didn't do what I told her to do.
The only one
which is a crappy excuse for things not going your way. Like, that just means your ally had her own fucking brain.
No, it went well. That was a good move on his part, because what he was saying when he said, oh, my ally didn't do what I wanted her to do, or was he was painting her as a flip-flopper because he was playing the jury, because he knew that the jury wouldn't respect someone who was just going with the way the wind blew. He was making a case for himself and damaging his opponent's case too.
I think more
throwing her off of her game.
No, I think more than that, he was shifting blame, right? Because most of those questions were, what happened? Why did I get voted out? I thought it was your ally. you know, all of these fuck ups that you had, Adam, you know, what happened during your fuck ups? And he just said, well, my ally went rogue and I don't know what the fuck happened. So sorry, Brett, you're gone because Hannah decided to, you know, be her own woman, you know, and that works because Hannah can stand up and say, you damn right I did, because that was the right decision for me to make. But that doesn't make Brett feel any better. What yeah, Adam says makes Brett feel better.
But the thing is, especially the way that she was defending it, it didn't come across as that. It came across kind of as desperate. And remember, I really liked Hannah. I thought she was doing a real good job, but I don't think she sold her case very well at all in the end. And that was partly because of the way that Adam would throw her under the bus unexpectedly. Like, I think she came into that expecting to be able to, you know, be lawyerly and explain why she felt she deserved to win. Instead, she had to defend her record.
I think she did. I still don't know what the hell you were watching.
I mean, either way, she's put in a position where she has to say, to assert herself as having made that move for what she perceived to be the right thing. The problem is, her move was voting out a person who wants you to explain why they were gone. So instead of explaining, Adam robbed her of the opportunity, right? So she cannot then explain why that was the right move. She just has to defend that she made that move independently because she wants to take credit for having made a move, which she did need to do, but you only get to do one or the other.
Yes, I am in agreement.
I see how you were both right. Like, Adam did push her into that position where she had to defend herself rather than make a statement about why it was the right move.
Yeah.
And Brian's right that she did defend herself. She stood up and she said, that's the move I fucking made and I'm going to take goddamn credit for it. But then she didn't get a chance to explain.
Yeah. And people didn't want to hear it because they were in there for the Adam game.
Right. And I mean, and enough of those people who were in there to be like, well, where did I get voted out? You know, like, well, you got voted out because you sucked more. Sorry. Yeah. I don't know what to tell you.
What frustrated me was Taylor. He was the very first one. He leads the whole thing off. And his thing is, my vote's up in the air. Sell yourselves to me, guys. And he tries to come across like he's this strategic genius for asking that question. And it's like that, in a nutshell, that's why I fucking hate Taylor.
Yeah. Like, that's kind of the whole point of this final tribal, you dumb shit.
Yeah. It's dumb. Like, everyone except from him had good-ish questions, at least, you know, or statements to make. Chris very obviously had a statement that he wanted to make.
Chris was the fucking worst.
He's all right. I thought it was funny. He's like, no. I want to admit to you guys, I'm not a coach. And my thought was, he told him he was a coach?
I
don't remember that either. And then everyone's like, no shit.
No, I was most thoroughly annoyed with Chris, because Chris goes up there like, I'm actually a lawyer and I'm apparently a smart person, even though you thought I was only a mediocre intelligent person. And I'm going to use my smart lawyer skills to advocate for this person. And then he makes some argument. The argument isn't even especially good. Like, it didn't have to come from a lawyer. And aside from that, it was fucking wrong.
Yeah.
And it's like, he just goes up there and makes a fool of himself to the detriment of the quality of the tribal and the quality of the game in the end. And it's just like, it frustrated me and angered me so much. And I was like, why are you even here, Chris? You were bumbling around for most of this. The only reason you made it so far is because you're big and strong. And it's so frustrating because he has this image of himself that he's a smart lawyery person. And it's just, it's not there, man.
No. All right. So yeah, Adam wins. Congratulations. And wins with all 10 votes. Complete clean sweep, which is probably the best case scenario for Hannah, since she wasn't going to win, is that this way she's guaranteed second place and $100,000. Yay! So I think third place is like $50,000 or something.
Yeah,
it's not that good, especially not compared to second. So this worked out well for her. I mean, Ken, he gets about what he deserved anyway. The reunion happens. Some stuff happened there. Like, I actually watched the whole one. It's not like the last season where I was like, all right, I'm watching the first two questions and I stopped caring. This was actually a pretty good one.
Who's Karen? Sorry.
Who's Karen?
Stopped caring?
I stopped caring.
Oh. In California, we don't pronounce the G's on the end of most gerunds. Should I speak the King's English and pronunciate each word? Each letter?
Sure. That'd be entertaining.
I had a friend one time, and I was really impressed the way he would pronounce every single letter. Like, that's how he would say letter. Like, you could hear both T's and letter. That's, wow, impressive thing.
That's anyway, a lot of work.
It is a lot of work. They asked Michelle a question and spent a good amount of time with the camera on her, and enough time for me to try and go, what the hell is she wearing?
What is that bird fox thing?
It was a stole of some sort, but it was like the head of, I don't know, because it looked like a fox, but it had goat horns on it. It looked like a demon fox. Yeah. And since she's a Christian youth pastor, I'm like, wait, what are you? I don't know. It looked like a straight up D&D thing. Because
who's the Icelandic singer that came out in a dress that was a swan? Yes,
Bjork in her swan dress, which was beautiful and amazing.
And I was going to say Torbjorn, but I knew that was wrong.
Torbjorn, this is my swan dress. Oh, I love Torb. Yeah, I don't know. So that thing was weird as hell, and I'm glad that you wrote a note on it also, because yeah. I could not figure it out myself. I was wondering. And we got the answer that we were looking for. And yeah, Adam's mom didn't survive. So she never got to see the season. And he very narrowly even got to see her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was nice, but crushing.
Yeah. And if people want, they can donate money to Stand Up to Cancer. So it's like SU2C.org/ Was it / survivor?
Sure.
Yeah, so if you're listening to this, go fucking donate to Stand Up to Cancer or any of the other many cancer benefit things. Adam himself donated a tenth of his winnings, so that's really good. Yay!
I will say before we wrap the reunion stuff, and we're on the topic of Adam and his mom, there's a bunch of stuff online about how people are sick and tired of hearing Adam's story. And I'm kind of frustrated that it led to a clean sweep when I would have liked – I mean, Ken deserved a couple votes. Hannah maybe deserved one, sure, at least. So I am frustrated that it led to that. But, like, I understand that it's editing and stuff, but especially during the reunion, like, that's just a guy. It's a real person.
Yeah.
Going through some shit. Like, this is not fucking Game of Thrones, man.
Yeah, like – during the season,
he can be tired with editing and all, but come on, man.
Yeah, and during the season, they only mentioned his mom in about 3 episodes. I think we first find out about the cancer during the reunion. Not the reunion. I'm sorry. The the family Merge? Visits. Family
the
visit.
Loved ones visit.
I feel like they may have mentioned it a little bit.
Definitely not the first time.
Yeah,
they mentioned it like six or seven times before.
No, they didn't mention it 6 or 7. And, well, wait. Remember what
yes,
I'm saying?
Did.
No. Wait.
I'm pretty sure they mentioned it every time he was in a confessional thing.
Hold on. Let me say what I was going to say. I have to get very close to that. When I say 6 or 7 times, I'm meaning 6 or 7 episodes. Like, they didn't mention it. Like, if they mentioned it 6 times in 1 episode, to me, that's still just the 1 time. Like, they didn't force this story down our throats forever and ever and ever.
I mean, either way, the story proved to be very relevant. So
yeah, it's not. Okay. Yeah, yeah. And also, let's see, what else did we find out? We found out Sunday was a cancer survivor. We found out Jay's mom is a cancer survivor.
Did we?
So, yeah, Jay's mom. Oh, she survived
Sunday.
Cancer. Oh,
Sunday.
Oh, Sunday. Yeah, Sunday's a cancer survivor. I feel like there's
they
at
say
least
that?
One.
I didn't hear that.
Yeah, they did. She is. That was actually one of the reasons they were going to vote her, or they voted her out. She was talking about that in her Ponderosa video. She said part of the reason they voted me out is because I was going to be able to talk about my cancer survivorship. Little did she know, if she had brought that up, Adam would have trumped her.
Well, I mean, already
Adam would have been like
giving it to her
domino.
I would have not given it to her. I was like, well, you're already the ultimate survivor, so you don't
boo.
Need this.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember if there's anything else that came out really. No, Michaela, Michaela admitted, yeah, all right, I overplayed my game there, which was good. I like her. And you know what? We're going to get to see more of her next season, because what we learned about next season is it's all game changers. Is that?
No, you know what they're going for, yeah.
Hold on a sec. Let me see if
it's season 34, the tag name for the season is game changers.
Mama like, Waku. This was
Gen X versus Millennials.
Yeah, the next one is Mama Waku Islands. Oh, okay, they haven't listed the entire. It's Okay, the cast is comprised of 20 returning players, of which 8 were revealed on the reunion show, of Michaela, Sandra Diaz, who has won in the past, Sierra, yeah. And when they announced her, I was like, wait, Sierra, the horse rancher one? Oh, man, she didn't do anything. And then it's, no, this is the tiny little Sierra, and she was rad.
Yeah.
Suri, who I'm really glad to see because she got so close the last time.
Isn't this like her fourth time now?
I think her third, unless she had one.
I think it's her fourth.
It might be because, oh, no, here we go. She was in Panama, Micronesia, and Heroes vs. Villains. Yeah. And yes, Micronesia.
Fourth time.
Wait. Micronesia.
I feel like
is
at
this...
some point, you have to stop giving them extra chances, you know?
No. I could see more of her any day. She is hysterical.
Well, and okay, I think
it's awesome. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
No, I think you're going to have to go back to the well maybe more times than is necessary if you want to do seasons that are all previous players. And I would way rather have all previous players or all new players because I don't like when they do like all new players except for 3 returning players and it's going to be 1 per tribe.
Oh, yeah.
Like, no, don't.
Yeah.
Don't
and also, Suri was voted out 4th on Heroes and Villains. So. Yeah. I don't feel too bad about that. We also get Oscar, Caleb, Ty. Yay, Ty.
Yeah.
And Tony, who I don't think I ever saw. Yeah, I didn't see Tony at all. All the rest of these I think I saw.
You didn't see Tony at all.
No.
He won.
I didn't watch Kagayan. Yeah.
Oh well he won.
Yeah. So. He apparently changed
I'm
the game.
I'm really hyped for Ty, Sandra, and more Kayla.
Caleb.
Dude.
Oh, more Michaela. Okay, no, sorry.
Yeah, Caleb. More Kayla.
No, dude, the OTP is back. Okay, Ty and Caleb get to get back.
Oh yeah,
that's true.
Here's the thing, Caleb. I'm glad he's coming back, but I don't really see him as a game changer. Like he got airlifted out.
Yeah, you're gonna stretch the definition to game changer a little bit when you need 22 of them.
Yeah. That said, though, yeah, no, that's fair. And it's like I'm glad he's coming back. I liked Caleb, and I thought it was fucked up that he got screwed out of the game based on their poor challenge construction. So
it was not their fault that it was hot.
Okay, but either way, you've had 33 seasons and you're bringing on 22 game changers. That means that it changes what every 0.75 seasons.
Yeah, I don't think
that math works.
It's a bit of a stretch. Okay, go do fantasy.
Survivor Fantasy. So going into the week, there were 2 bets about the Legacy Advantage. One was what it would do, and one is how many times it would change hands. Nick won the what it would do, saying immunity. I said it would be an advantage during a challenge, and Brian said it could be anything other than those two, and he would get the points. But Nick, you're right. It was immunity, so 3 points for you. And then the other one was how many times it would change hands. Nick said 3, I said 4, and Brian said 1. Brian gets 3 points for that. We also have 2 bets that fizzled. Do we even want to bring those up?
No, those don't happen. I don't know what you're talking about.
We don't need to know.
No, it's worse than when we do a Deadpool and it makes it past the merge. So anyway, points. Since this point thing is a beast, I'm not going to break it down.
Good.
Nick had 161. He ends up with 185 and gets 3 more for the bet, giving him 188, which gives him the victory.
You can't tell, but I'm doing a pose right now.
And this is especially impressive because at the final tribal, 2 of his 3 players that he went into the week with were gone.
Hell yeah.
Meanwhile, 2 of my, like, both of my players were in the final tribal and I came in second. I had 149, and then with Ken and Hannah, I ended up at 171. Brian, you had Brett, which didn't turn out too great.
Yeah, he got me 3 points.
Yeah, so you had 134, and you ended up with 137, because he survived the first week, not the second. And you got 3 more points from the bet that you won, giving you 140. So Nick has 188 to end the year. I have 171, and Brian ends up with 140.
And does anybody want to do any ads or drops before we finish?
No, but I will say, I went back and checked, and I had been fucking up the math earlier in the season.
I thought so.
But I kept fucking it up, so it's okay.
It's fair.
The other thing I wanted to say, going back and looking at my previous notes for this one, is there were not that many reward challenges compared to previous seasons.
No, you're right. Yeah.
There were really not many rewards.
And the rewards that there were usually just like, here's food. They didn't go and do anything.
Here's a steak. It's not like, what was it, Cambodia, when they were like, you want a reward, go give children bicycles.
Yeah, this was
That's a great... And then you give them a steak at the end.
Yeah. Well, apparently this next one is also in Fiji, so maybe we'll see some of that next season.
So speaking of fantasy, I have a suggestion. Can we add some points? You get 3 points if your player finds immunity, and 3 points if your player has immunity played for them.
Yeah, sure, why not? But let's litigate all that later. We don't need to, because I don't know when the next season's gonna.
We'll talk about it later.
Yeah, because also I don't know when the next season's gonna air. I think it's in the spring, right?
Yeah.
So we got like a month or two before we need to worry about all that.
Oh. Yeah, and we can always bring it up. We can always bring it up when we do the draft for next season.
Yeah, and we probably will. Yeah. Okay. Well, in that case, before we put a bow on this season, does anyone want to add anything? Is anyone want to say overall impressions, good season, bad season? I can start by saying it was a good season, but for some reason, I just had a hard time caring towards the end. I don't know why. I like that it was all a bunch of good people, but maybe that is kind of just, maybe, yeah, I don't know.
This was a lot of good gameplay and not a lot of good characters.
Yeah, I think that's it. I mean, it was a good season, but it was some kind of like meh.
Severely lacking someone that's batshit crazy.
There's no coach.
There was also a severe drought of Mari.
Yeah, I mean, Jay ended up being good, even though he was real annoying to start. And Adam had his story, which is good. Some people would want to watch. Some people would not be interested. But other than that, I mean, there's a couple sideline stories that were interesting in the moment, but didn't lead to good characters that you liked watching every week.
Yeah.
And so much of the season was dominated by Figtail crap and stuff like that.
I know. And I just didn't give a shit about that to begin with.
Yep.
So, okay. In that case, we will, as I said, put a bow on it. And that is the end of season 33, Gen X versus Millennials. And we will look forward to the spring season of Game Changers? Changing the game. Oh boy, that's going to be annoying. I have a feeling that's going to be really irritating.
Yeah.
Just the folks. But whatever. Siri's going to be in it. And so
it's going to be better than Millennial versus Gen X tropey stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Yeah. Fucking Ozzy's back again.
Hopefully he'll get voted out real fast. Again. No, you know what? I agree. I did not like him from moment one when he had the dumb drummer, whatever his name was. I don't know. He threw a challenge to get the drummer voted out. I was like, come on, dude. Don't throw a challenge. That's stupid.
He's so fucking conceited.
Yeah.
I hate that guy.
I'm going to run up a tree and catch a fish with my bare hands. Who cares? I do like seeing him when he gets to the end and he cannot seal the deal. That's pretty funny. He and Amanda have that same problem.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
At least Amanda wasn't annoying, though.
She was pretty annoying, to me at least.
All right. Hey, Andy, at least Amanda has giant boobs.
Yep.
Okay. Is that better? There we go.
Yeah. I entirely agree with you, Brian.
All right. Well, on that comment, that's the note we're going to close this season on.
No. I'm going to say happy holidays, everyone.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Enjoy whatever festivities you wish.
Yeah. You got Hanukkah. You got Ramadan is in January, isn't it?
Hanukkah starts on Christmas Eve this year, which is nice.
Oh, convenient.
To celebrate.
You got Festivus. You got Kwanzaa. You got Eid. 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 EIE.
What the fuck are you doing?
It's Persian. What's the Indian one? Is it Holi or Diwali?
Diwali, but that's in October usually.
No. Well, isn't there a winter one? It doesn't fucking matter.
Eid is in September.
Oh, it doesn't fucking matter. Happy whatever you're celebrating, and we're done. We'll see you next year. Goodbye.
Night of the Living